Now, in our series on cults, we've done a couple of them. But I've been working for quite a while on collecting an understanding of atheism. And I can speak from experience because I grew up an atheist. I grew up going to church but going to sleep. I grew up with a dad who never talked about God, never said he believed in God. I never gave it a thought. Go to church. I never really questioned, is there or isn't there a God? I never really thought about it. So when when a woman witnessed to me, she asked me, where would I go when I died? And I said, who knows and who cares? Because as far as I was concerned, nobody could know. Nobody cares what happens to you when you die. But atheism is a very dangerous cult. You become very self-assured that you're right, just like a cult. Now, I'm not right, folks. Let me tell you, the Bible's right. And one of the ways you know when you're in a good church is everybody has a Bible, and we're the most open-minded people on the planet. Now, we're not so open-minded that everybody has their own belief, but we're open-minded to correction. We're open-minded to growth. We're open-minded to, all right, yeah, I never saw that before. And that is amazing. But atheism's not like that. There are things that are just you cannot introduce into their thinking. So I want to talk to you about where we're at today, and this is probably one of the more important studies of cults, because you will run into this person more, this kind of a person, more than you'll run into most other religions. Luke chapter 18 and verse 8 says this. I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Jesus is concluding a parable and of a judge and a widow woman and stuff. And he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What a question. You see, currently we're watching the decrease of faith of any kind all over the world. Religions and faith are dwindling. For the moment, people are moving away from believing anything that we kind of classify as traditionally spiritual. But that doesn't mean they're living without beliefs. Atheists and people that I meet believe in the fairy tale of the survival of the fittest. And they believe that mutations make us better. We call it evolution. They believe in this thing called humanism. They believe in that man is only getting better and better with time and lots of politicians. And they believe more and more in themselves and their sufficiency without a need for God. But as far as worshiping and following a God, well, that's out, at least for a while, but it won't last. Let me tell you this. According to the Bible, religion will come back in with a bang. You know why? Because God made us to worship Him. We are made, we are designed to seek a higher power. God designed us to need Him. That's why there are religions all over the world, because everybody's trying to find God their own way. And I believe in the future, people will turn back to faith, but not the biblical faith. As a matter of fact, as we get closer and closer and closer to the end times, biblical faith will shrink smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the general truth. What has happened is churches got full. There were times when religion was popular, but it wasn't real. And a little persecution gets rid of the dross. A little pressure, a little mockery makes people turn away and walk away. They never were really the real McCoy. So we're going to look at atheism, this attitude that whatever is said, they won't listen to. They won't listen to the Bible. They've got everything all figured out. We're going to look at the belief of non-belief. All right? And well, I'm going to talk about where atheism came from, why it's so popular, what it means, and why it is dangerous. Next time we'll meet in a couple of weeks, I'll talk about how to witness to them, how to win them to faith in Jesus Christ, how I got saved. And it's not like you think. You don't have to have all the answers, but I'll help you as best as I can. So let's pray. Father, please bless our study this evening, because around us are a growing number of people that may not claim to be atheists, but in their life they are. Even in our church, there are people who come to church, but they are not just lost. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. They just come to church. And that's sad. God, I pray that you'd make them uncomfortable. I pray that we would make atheists uncomfortable. Not because we're arrogant or we're in their face, but because we're a shining light, we're the salt of the earth like we were supposed to be. So open our eyes to how the world is changing and what we're going to be dealing with for the next 15, 20 years, if you tarry, and how we can turn things around. Please encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we got to talk about some definitions. First one is theism. Theism is the belief in God, specifically the belief in the existence of a God or God, specifically of a creator who intervenes in the universe, actually steps in and steps out. That's theism. Now, I am a theist, but I'm much more particular than that. I know the God I worship. I just don't believe in a God. I'm very particular. But theism means you believe in a God of some sort. Then you got the opposite. You got the people who are atheism. That's the belief. There's no God. And they chose this symbol. That's their symbol. They kind of modify it from group to group. But that's their symbol for atheism. They simply believe there is no God. Then there's a third group, and that's agnostics. I don't know if you've ever met anybody who claims to be agnostic. They just don't know. Now let's go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Agnostics have been around for quite a while. Acts 17, verse 23. Well, I'll start in verse 22. They just don't know. So theism is the belief in God of some sort. Atheism, A stands for not, so it's the opposite of theism. It's no God. And then you got the middle of the between that says, well, I just don't know. Look at Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And you'll find a lot of people who may say that they're atheists and really they're just agnostics. They just don't know if there's a God or not. And that's probably the easiest to talk to. Now, atheism is unique in that it makes absolute statements. Absolute statements, there is no God, which is kind of stupid. All right? They claim to be able to make absolute statements and say, there is no God. And everything is physical. There is nothing spiritual, nothing non-physical. And yet, that's a direct slam against our God. What does the Bible say in John 4:24? God is a spirit. He's not physical. He doesn't live on a planet called Krypton or something, you know? He's spiritual. God is a spirit. And let me help you a little bit here. Between all of these, even Christians have struggles where they will move from a strong belief in God to a, I don't know if God's there. You ever been there? Did you ever go through a very deep valley and you wondered, God, are you there? You're in good company because even David thought that. David struggled times in the cave running from Saul. He said, God, where are you? What happened to you? Are you even there? So, people struggle with this confidence that God is there. And that's normal. Okay, that's okay. That's why I hold to the Bible, because my feelings will carry me up and down. But that book will settle me every time I get back into it. All right. So now what atheism believes. Let's talk about their beliefs, because every cult has their own beliefs. Now, modern atheists will say this. Atheism has no belief, no doctrine, no dogma, and no rules of any kind. But that's a lie. I want to show you. Atheism has a lot of beliefs, and I'll list them for you. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Atheism is a philosophy, which is a way of looking at life. It is a belief system about life and death, but it's a belief that excludes any concept of a supernatural being that you can't see. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, because Christians, I've known some people that get so discouraged or get so confused that they claim that they are now atheists. A lot of teenagers, when they go to college, end up that way. They come home atheists. Well, Colossians 2, 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you. What's spoil mean? Say it again. Take advantage of you is a very good meaning. There's a couple other meanings. Ruin you. Another word is rob you. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and through vain deceit, talking only about ourselves, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. The rudiment. What does rudiment mean? Come on, that's probably Marcus. The lower parts, yes, but elements are the base things. The things, animalistic desires. Why would you go to church on a Sunday night? I mean, they must really give you a lot of fun. No, I don't go for fun. The base reason why people go anywhere is because they get something out of it. I got over that a long time ago. I go to church not because I get something. I already got something out of it. Now I get to give. But if you... We don't get things... The people get ruined because they get attracted to the rudiments of the world and they're not following after Christ. So atheism is a belief system that is about only things you see, feel, what tastes good. If it feels good, do it. That's their philosophy. That's the rudiment or the base things of life. Now, it is a rejection, an outright rejection of all religious deities and spiritual authorities. There's anything, if you try to quote the Bible to me, don't quote the Bible to me. I reject it. According to atheism, people do not need to rely on gods or holy writings to create moral codes for life. They're against including any religion in any public affair. Have you noticed how sterile life has become? I mean, look, I'm no fan of the monstrance being marched down the city. But you know what? When they took away the monstrance, they put out the LGBT crowd now. You know, when you start removing all religion, something's going to take its place and it ain't going to be pretty. Are you with me? So there is they're against the inclusion of all religion, any religion, in public affairs. And that's dangerous. You know, all courts used to stand and honor. If you go to the United States Congress before they begin, and I don't know if it's true in the Dole, I've never noticed, I've never been at the Dole to watch, but in America, they open in prayer. Is that the same? Isn't that a mockery? How do people go there and pray when there is no acknowledgement of God? Don't worry about modifying the Constitution and making amendments, folks. Don't worry. In the next 10 years, they're going to replace the Constitution. They're going to rewrite it, and they're going to get rid of Jesus Christ at the beginning of the Irish Constitution. They want to get rid of every part of religion and public affairs. They believe that any belief in any God or spirit, any of them, is the same as believing in Santa or the Tooth Fairy. How many of you believe in the Tooth Fairy? Unless you're anything. All right. They just look at this. Therefore, you shouldn't believe in God. They reject any religious deity. And for them, they believe there is no need for any religion. They believe there's no need for a God telling anybody what is right or wrong. They believe that all proper morals, all standards of right and wrong, are based on whether what we do helps or hurts another person. What do they say? I wasn't hurting anybody. That's their mantra. All that they worry about is, why can't I do this? I'm not hurting anybody. If it's consensual, if it's legal, it doesn't matter. So to them, as long as I only help and don't hurt anybody, it's okay. That's what all of their morals are based on. But that's a lie. That's a lie because their lives teach Aleister Crowley's philosophy. What was Aleister Crowley's philosophy? Do as thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want. So they'll say, what we call platitudes, they'll say, oh, I'm not hurting anybody. But in their private life, it's a disaster. Now, what's cute, some people who are atheists are really quite religious. It's quite funny to find out how many people don't believe in God, but they're at church every week. It's amazing. I'll talk about that. Well, let me see. Did you know Buddhism and atheism blend perfectly? They both of them want to die and get it over with, all right? many modern Presbyterians, Methodists, modern traditional churches have changed to the point where they don't talk about God at all. They talk about man. And they talk about Jesus the man. And they talk about Israel, the evolutionary philosophy and religion of Israel. But they never talk about God. So there are plenty of atheists sitting in the audience learning about good deeds and loving your neighbor. But they don't learn about God. Did you know, I find in most modern churches, they're filled with religious atheists. They're there, but they don't believe in God, not the God of the Bible. It's a God of their own design. Let me keep going. What atheism believes, they believe only in evidences. I only believe in evidence, proofs. I will not believe in holy books. I won't believe in miracles. Now, I want you to go to John chapter 20. Let me introduce you to a practical atheist. John chapter 20 and verse 29. Let's see, Dean, would you read John 20, 29, please?
Jesus said unto him, Come, if thou see me, thou see me. That's why I have not seen him.
All right, what's the context? What did Thomas say to the disciples about the risen Savior, about the resurrection, before he ended up meeting Jesus? What did he say? Do you remember? I won't believe until I put my finger in his hand and my hand in his side. He's got to prove it to me that he's alive. Isn't that what atheists believe? I'm not going to believe in God until he descends right now and introduces himself to me. I'm not going to believe until there's proof and there's evidence. Now, God does give evidence. Don't think that this is blind faith. You know, there's plenty of evidence. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews. See, John, would you read Hebrews chapter 1? I'm not sure. I think Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So by it, the other things looking for. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So the things which are unseen were not made of things.
Wow. So, were any of us there when God made the universe or when the universe appeared? No. And neither were the evolutionists. Neither were the atheists. So, by faith, we have to take it according to what the Bible says. But, you know, the very fact that they're here, the very fact that there's so many impossible things working together and making the universe tick proves that God was here. It doesn't give the evolutionists any hope for proof at all. Romans chapter 20. Romans chapter 1, sorry, Romans chapter 1, there's no chapter 20. Romans chapter 1, that's Sebastian. Would you read Romans chapter 1 in verse 20? There's plenty of evidence right here. Go ahead. Nope, Romans chapter 1, I think you're in chapter 2. 120. All right, so invisible things, unknown things you can't see with your eyes. You can understand by the things that you can see with your eyes. So that people are without excuse. Somebody says, what about the heathen in Africa? I say, what about the heathen in Cork? Don't worry about those people. But everybody knows there's a God. I don't care how far away from civilization you are. Everybody knows there's a God. Nobody has an excuse saying, I didn't know. No, everybody knows. Because it's been revealed to them. Let's see. Now, what I found with most atheists, and not necessarily agnostics, but atheists will tell you, there's nothing you could say that could make me believe in God. And yet they'll say in the same breath, now, if you gave me a true evidence, I would believe. So they're kind of funny to talk to. But we'll talk about that next time. So, they only believe in evidence, at least that's what they say. They believe that you got your religion simply from your parents, from your culture. They believe that you only get your religion by where you live, which is a lie. My religion when I grew up was atheism. Yet I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Baptist Christian. Amen? Ravi Zacharias grew up in Hindu India. He's a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. So there are thousands and tens of thousands. There are lots of people who buck the system. Now, generally, what the evolutionists will tell you is, if you lived in Greece 2,000 years ago, you would have believed in Zeus. If you lived in Saudi Arabia right now, you'd believe in Islam. Generally, that's true. Why? Because people just go with the flow. Jesus said, generally, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that just go with the flow. So we already understand all that. That doesn't, everybody's just going to believe something. But that doesn't help the atheists. They just say you only believe just simply because that's how you grew up. They believe there's not enough evidence to prove the existence of any religion. Well, that's crazy. Some of the smartest people in all of history have believed the Bible. This is not a stupid person's book. I believe you have to be educated out of believing in God. You have to be so indoctrinated, because it makes perfect sense. As you look at the Bible, you look at the God of the Bible, you look at the universe. As a matter of fact, Louis Pasteur, who if you heard of pasteurization, all right, well, he said, the more you study science, the more you'll find God. Now, he wasn't saying you only find God in science, but he said, you don't disprove God the more you look. Another man said this, a little bit of science makes a man give up on God. A lot of science makes you come back. So they kind of play with things. Also, they believe that religious people are not self-reliant because they turn to God or gods for their needs. They are weak. And you'll hear that. They'll say, oh, that's your crutch. And I go, yes, sir. Amen. What's yours? That's my response right back to him. What's yours? Oh, I don't have a crutch. I bet you do. How many prescription drugs are you on at night and in the morning and during the day? But they'll believe that religious people, generally, they may be, but they're not self-reliant. They're weak. They're pitiful. They're not intelligent, so on and so forth. They believe that religion often causes division and war, and they undermine basic human rights. It's because of religion that people were slave owners. Is that true? Generally, is that true? It is not. Now, yes, religious people had slaves. But, you know, it was the Muslims who gathered and sold the slaves first. It was a lot of filthy, wicked men who made money on cheap labor who bought and sold men and families from Africa and bought and sold. And it was Christians who fought. Wilberforce fought to stop slavery in England and in America. Amazing Grace, John Newton, fought the rest of his life after getting saved, because he was a slave owner, fought to stop the buying and selling of slaves. Don't tell me that Christians and religious people, now Muslims, different thing. And scientific research, do you know how many people who believe the Bible have come up with scientific benefits to humanity throughout history? We're not stupid. Religious people are not the problem. Not what people say. They believe that everything... Here, this is funny. Richard Dawkins. I'll talk to him about it next time. But they believe everything is not designed, even though it looks like it was designed. That's funny. So if you see a watch, and you're walking along the side of the ocean there, and in the sand, you see this watch sticking up, and you pick it up, and it's ticking, and you look at it. Just because it looks like it was designed doesn't mean that it was. It probably, accidentally just came together there. To them, that's what they believe. Even Richard Dawkins has to admit time after time when he and John Lennox, who is a professor at Cambridge University or Oxford, don't remember which one, Oxford, he just took him to task and say, so, Mr. Dawkins, so what about the fact that something is designed? If I held up a computer board, or if I held up and he just stayed away from the watch, but he held up all these things and he said, what about all these things that they were designed by man? He said, just because it looks like a design doesn't mean it was. You have to be really smartly trained to be able to come up with that answer. This is really the danger. I'll talk a couple of weeks about the dangers of atheism. Atheists don't believe in evil. They don't believe that there is anything evil. Now let me get the quote here. Richard Dawkins said this, and Richard Dawkins is not a scientist, but he's so popular people think he's smart. He said, the universe we observe has all the properties that we would expect if there is, at its bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That's what he said. He said, there's no evil and no good. You know, to a true atheist, it is not morally wrong to torture pets, rape, abuse weaker people, perform experiments on human subjects. To a true atheist, hey, you may not like it, but it's not wrong. How can something be wrong when there's nobody telling you it's wrong? You know, Adolf Hitler had the largest number of human experiments you could imagine. And they, and those scientists did some of the most God-awful things you could imagine to the Jews. Do you know what they did in the 1950s? There was a huge debate all over England and in America. All of these studies on human subjects that actually were beneficial. They learned about tolerance of human to stress, and they learned about all these things. And he says, do we use this research that the Nazi scientists did on human subjects? You know what they decided? To burn all the documents. Amen. He said, you don't use what was developed at the expense of human life. I wish they'd do that with the unborn fetuses. I wish they'd stop researching on aborted children. It just bothers a fire out of me. But they believe evil doesn't exist. To dislike these things, this is his quote, to dislike torture and rape and experiments is merely a matter of personal taste, since there is no superior law governing my actions. Well, I dislike it. Many modern atheists would tell you, says, oh, that's not a good thing to do. And you point them, you need to push them and say, why? Why is it not? Well, because you're hurting people. That's their answer. You're actually taking them and hurting. But if there's no moral code, no moral authority telling you what is right or wrong, unless you're bigger than me, I get to do what I want. Now, they believe that only particles, atoms, and physical forces of nature exist. But you know, they actually believe that the feeling of love, it's an action between blood vessels, adrenaline, neurons, and chance. Really? All the laws of physics explain our feelings and our free will. They're nuts, man. They believe that science is the only way to find truth. I mean, we're talking about a belief system. This is, atheism is no belief. Are you kidding? They've got more beliefs than most Catholics. They believe that science is the only way to find truth, yet they always are forced to admit that science can never ask questions like of meaning or of value. How do you put value on something? How do you put value on a bird? We got a bird feeder a couple weeks ago. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, these birds fight to get at that thing, man. And we sit there and watch it. They line up. It's hilarious. They line up to get at this bird feeder. What's the value of one bird? Well, if you're an atheist, nothing. But what's the value? What's the value of a child? Do you know, 2,000 years ago in Greece, in highly intellectual atheistic polytheistic Greece, children meant nothing. Until they reached an age of 12, 13, 14, and they all of a sudden could become preparation for warrior, they weren't even named. The Spartans had a whole different lifestyle for them, but children were a bother to the degree that you can't imagine. If a child got sick and didn't seem to get better, especially an infant, they go and leave it to the wolves. You know, that Bible puts immense value on things that we take for granted now. But to an atheist, get rid of them. Now, whether they admit it or not, we're coming to some closing, whether they admit it or not, an atheist worldview, like ours, takes faith. They have a lot of beliefs that they have that they can't prove. You know, there are four things that they believe that they cannot prove. Number one, that evolution is the right answer to how we got here. They can't prove it. just peg him and say, so you believe in evolution? Of course I do. Science says it's true. Really? So science is sure. Well, kind of. Yeah, it's not. They believe just like you do. They just have a different belief system. They believe, they have no explanation for how we are rational. How is it that I'm able to come to conclusion? No animal sits down and goes, 2 + 2 = 4. It's wrong for me to hit this other animal. How does a human come up with a rational, logical reason to not do something? They can't explain reason. They can't explain how a Big Bang brought everything into existence accidentally from nothing. And they believe that there is no life after a person dies. Ask them, can you prove it? Now they'll ask you, prove to me that there's life after death. And my answer is, Jesus. Amen. Either Jesus is the biggest fraud perpetrated on the human race, or he's alive. Amen. So they'll always ask, you know, prove that there's life after death, and Jesus is the proof of it. You ask them, prove to me there's not, and they can't prove it. They can't prove that when a person dies that they didn't continue. Now, there's also, they require 4 miracles, all right? They require big miracles. Number one, that everything got here from nothing. That's a miracle. I believe in that, don't you? Amen. But they believe it too. They just get it from a different nothing. You get life. You get non-life to become life. Non-life to arise from... No, I should say, to getting life to arise from non-living things. So this rock, if I give it enough time, sprinkle some water on there, put it in the sun, it'll become a mother-in-law. No, get another rock. All right. That's a miracle. They have this idea that non-living things will produce living things. Third, they require the miracle of getting order out of chaos. Right. Right. Things fall apart. They don't get better, do they? It would take a miracle for things that are just on the floor for it all of a sudden, like Mary Poppins, to start marching and put themselves away in the cupboards and in the drawers and in the sheets. Amen? Do you remember the old Mary Poppins? Come on, don't look at me like I'm... All right. They believe that order just accidentally came out of chaos. And they require the miracle of getting immaterial things like love, selflessness, reason. Let me see what else it says because I can't remember. They require the miracle of getting immaterial things like love, selflessness, reasoning. All comes from material things like blood, bones, and skin. That's a crazy miracle for the chemicals in this body to come together and make it actually self-sacrifice. Why would I give my life for somebody else? You can't expect... That's not normal. That's not natural. So they require a miracle that this world is operating that way. I'll give you a brief history of atheism. It's not been around as long as you... atheism has always been around. Not true. Most atheists will point their history and say it began with some Greek and Roman philosophers, a guy named Epicurus, Democritus, and Lucretius. And these philosophers, back in Athens, were the first atheistic writers. They didn't say that gods didn't exist. They just said that gods didn't care. They weren't involved in life. During the 18th and 19th centuries, 1700s, 1800s, philosophers like this guy named Thomas Hobbes started doubting the literal value of the religious books. 1700s was a big time for attacking the Bible. Ludwig Feuerbach. Did I say that right? Feuerbach. All right. That's a small river. Right? Wow, okay. Feuerbach. Believe that God was invented by humans. Now you say, well, that's what everybody believes. But in those days, when he wrote that, people were... and it was just, it was blasphemous. But people started reading his stuff. By the late 19th century, atheism experienced a skyrocketing rise in popularity because of the guy named Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution and other scientific advancements that questioned religion. Now, he didn't go out of his way to question God. He just said, I found another way to explain everything. And boy, did people gravitate to it. Some more history. Friedrich Nietzsche declared that God... You heard it? God is dead. You know, it's funny. He wrote a book called God is Dead. And when Nietzsche died, man said, Nietzsche is dead. And God's still around, amen? But it was such a popular book back in the early 1900s. He said that humanity finally had killed off God. We didn't need him anymore. A woman named I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's a female named George Eliot. Jorge, I don't know. Joined in saying the Bible contained, and she wrote a series of little pamphlets and articles saying, we can't take the Bible literally because there's too much hostility in the Bible. So there was this constant growing, and she was an atheist. She didn't want to people to believe in the Bible, but she just wrote and wrote and wrote to turn people away from the Bible. In the 19th century brought about the rise of what they call secularism. Don't they use that word a lot today? And that was a movement that was trying to stop the church from being involved in politics and in state affairs. In the 20th century, the biggest thing in our 100 years has been two world wars that have turned people away from God. Why? Because in those two world wars, people all over Europe, America, Japan, all over the world, their idea of right and wrong. Can you imagine being Japanese? Are you ready? Hirohito was God to them. Emperor Hirohito stood up and said, for the empire and for me, conquer America, conquer China, conquer Cambodia, let's conquer the world. And they gave their lives thinking that they were pleasing their God. And when Hirohito stood on, what was the name of the ship? And and had to bow before the Allied forces and sign. And he was made to inform all of Japan that he was no God, he was just a man. Can you imagine their faith? That would make you an atheist right there. From if your God just stepped down and became nothing different than you, and your sons and your husbands died for that man, you would stop believing in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Germany, why did they think that they were going to war and killing so many different people? Why? Because they thought that they were doing God a service, killing off all of the non-pure races. But when Germany lost, they go, well, maybe God's not there. Hey, I'll give you another example. The Jews. Jews had struggled with the concept of God for the last 2,000 years because they've been pretty well abused everywhere they went. But when the Holocaust hit and Auschwitz, and they came out of the Holocaust, all of a sudden, 90%, if not 95% of Judaism, of Jewish religion, died out of anger. They were so, says, if there is a God, he let us go through that. I don't want anything to do with him. And they turned to atheism. So most Jews you meet today are atheists. They're mad at God. So, people left their churches by the millions after World War II. Now, I didn't mean that it's all everything's gone off the map, because amazingly, at the same time, there was a revival. After World War II, I'm telling you, people in America, in Europe, and now it wasn't in the big name churches and the big Church of England, stuff like that. It was in small churches like this. It was in house groups. But countless millions of people, including in China. And there are probably more Christians in China than there are in Europe. 100 million, if not more, underground Christians in China who are risking their lives. And they, when they get a Bible, they never let it out of their sight because they've never had a Bible. So at the same time as all of this going on, God has His witness. God brings a revival. Now, today, you know what this is? It's a small picture, but you get the idea. That's called an atheist assembly. You know what that means? It's an atheist church. Sunday assembly, that's what they call it. There are, even today, folks, there is atheism is cool, man. I don't go to church, I go to Sunday assembly, man, where I hear about atheism. You don't have any beliefs? I'm just telling you, atheism is trying to act cool and trying to fit. Now, what's wrong with atheism? This is a summary and we're going to stop here. What's wrong with atheism? First of all, atheists have a faulty view of God. They don't know God. That's the problem. They don't know God. Secondly, they've experienced a failure trying to believe in some God. I don't care what culture you go to, there are people who have been so hurt by a wrong concept of God and by trying to please God and it failing that they just say, I give up on God. I bet many of us have been in that place at different times, especially before we got saved. I remember praying to a God I didn't know. I remember crying and begging, whoever is up there, please save my mom and dad from divorce. Please keep them together. And they didn't stay together. They didn't stay together. I talked to somebody last night at midnight on Facebook telling me, where was God when my parents divorced? I said, same place He was in when my parents divorced. Can't blame God for the fact that your parents fought and walked away from each other. But I remember praying. I remember saying, who's ever up there? I mean, that's how I prayed. Who's ever up there? You know, fix this. This is hurting too much. You know, when He doesn't answer, how do you feel? Well, I guess there's nobody up there. That's what you feel. It's a faulty view of God, and you've experienced failure. How many Catholics have walked away from Catholicism because of abuse, because of a failure of the system, and walk away, I'm no longer a believer at all. That's where atheism gets its venom, its anger from. Third, they're filled with a spirit of hatred towards God and towards all things spiritual. I mean, it's not like it's your thing, I got my thing. I mean, they talk like that, but they hate your guts. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And see Shane. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 4. All right, now, who is this referring to? No, it's not God. Look in verse 3. Nope, read verse 3. Or read out loud. Well, read out loud. Right, the son of perdition is the son of hell. And what does he do? He opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called what? Anything that is called God. Any God. He will exalt himself above that. And he will exalt himself above everything that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's atheism. Atheism wants to do away with God and set itself up in his place. But that's primarily, that's right directed at the spirit of the Antichrist, all right? And when you try to talk, folks, you can talk to a Catholic and get them upset. You can talk to a Buddhist and get them upset. You can talk to lots of different religions, but you've never felt anger until you've witnessed to an atheist. Because you're stirring up old feelings of, oh, I don't want to go through this again. And they don't realize where the spirit came from. Number four. What's wrong with atheism? They have done more damage and killing than all religions for all time. I'll show you next time the history of atheism. They'll say that the Salem witch trials, the Inquisition, all of the religious wars. Do you realize that just one country, one, has done more murders and tortures and destruction of its people than all religious worlds? Russia has, from 1951 to 1960-something, 61 million people were exterminated in Russia. Good old Joseph Stalin was getting rid of the Georgians, that's 30 million of them. And then Khrushchev and Brezhnev and all those guys clearing off. They're just clearing out people that they didn't want around. They had to feed them. So how do you feed people that there's too many of you? Get rid of some of them so you can feed the others. That's communism. So Russia, 61 million. You know, the highest estimates for people who died during the Dark Ages, that's 1,000 years. The highest estimates are up to 50 million. I'm not sure they're that many. But that's over 1,000 years, and Russia did it in 10. China slaughtered 47 million. You ever hear the long march here of Mao Zedong? And he just marched people till they died. Running after Chiang Kai-shek. Cambodia, These are all atheistic countries, by the way. They're not religious. Not religious at all. Atheism has done more damage. Some people say this, and the atheist will tell you, the world would be a better place without religion. Let me tell you. Russia, China, USSR I'm talking about, China, Vietnam, Korea, North Korea, all the places that are atheistic have slaughtered and killed more than we can imagine. We can't imagine. Salem witch trials, you know how many witches were burned in Salem in a period of about 3 years? Just three before they stopped it. Maybe a little bit less. Do you know how many? 20. Now, 20 was too many. But compare 20 to, if you add up all of the atheistic societies over the last 100 years since the Bolshevik Revolution, that's 130 million. And in Salem, Massachusetts, where they burned witches back in the 1600s, there was 20. The Spanish Inquisition, over the period of about 60 or 70 years during the height of the Spanish Inquisition, they estimate somewhere around 3,000 were tortured and stuff like that. I'm sure there were more than they recorded. I'm just telling you this. Who's worse? Now, all of those were wrong, and religion's got a lot to answer for abuse. No question. But I think the atheists have a lot more to answer for. Let me turn the flip around on something. We're not innocent. We create atheists. You know why? Our lives tell the world that God is dead. So why would they believe in a living God when our life doesn't show He's alive? We encourage atheists to give up on God. By the way, I'll say this next time. There are no people who are born atheists. They all choose it. They all fall away. They all turn their back. They start believing. But religion, I mean in normal, religion has created more atheists than they want to admit. Secondly, atheism is man's attempt to find better answers than religions offer. And you know what? Religions aren't offering good religions. I'm talking about in general, are not offering good answers. So obviously, atheism is going to look to science, going to look to philosophy, is going to look to things. That's a fault. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3? It says, we need to give an answer. We need to be a salt and the light in the world. Few people know about the God of the Bible. That's our fault. You'll deal with an atheist, say, you're one of those. They don't even know what a Bible thumper is. They just use that term. They don't know what a Bible believer believes. Few people know the God of the Bible. They think that we believe in weird stuff they see on television. Science has done a lot of good. I would prefer science to witch doctors. Amen? Here, drink this dirt. Science does a lot of good. You're not attacking them on the basis of science. Good science is good science, folks. But sometimes they think that we're against science. That's not true at all. Biblical Christianity must once again stand out as not religious. We're not here to be religious. True religion stands up and says we're true. And why did all of the disciples go crazy, going all over the world, risking their lives? Because Jesus was alive. To them, it was true. The Bible was true. Everything He said was true. We need to get back to that. We need to not blend. We don't need to step down. We've got to step up to what the world needs to see. We need to have some revivals, folks. I mean, we need Ireland to experience a revival after this debacle, after the darkness has just taken a grip of this country. Wouldn't it be good to have a revival? Wouldn't it be good to have countless numbers of people standing up saying, I thought I was homosexual, but then I found out I was a sinner. And God saved a wretch like me. Amen. Wouldn't that be good? That's what we've got to have. We need the politicians to start to have to answer to the public instead of to a few hairdressers and effeminate people. We need to stand out by watching men in marriages and societies get saved. I mean saved, not just join the church. That's the last thing we need is a bunch of people start joining the church. Brother Dan, it would not be good if we had 200 people join the church next week who are unsaved and uncaring and uninterested in the Bible. Amen? No, we need men especially, women too, they're kind of lost. But men saved and saying, you know what? I've been an egotistical, arrogant, hard-headed, stubborn, selfish wretch. But now I'm going to be a servant of the Most High God. That's what we need. And we need marriages. The world needs to see light. It needs to see what a community looks like with saved people. And I was watching Estevo walking home from church today. You know how he walked? With his Bible in his hand. You know, I watched some of you, you kind of put it into a bag and you kind of walk out of here. The world needs to see that when we leave here and we go to Super Value or we head down to Tesco or that they see a bunch of Christians. I mean, I love going to BB's and sit down and just opening my Bible there, drinking my coffee, and everybody just passing by and going, looking like that. What is he doing? Amen. You know, if this society got really, really infected by us, not just affected, but infected, the world would see a difference in Valley Colleague. Amen. And folks, we need to stay faithful. We do not need to change. We don't need to adapt. I mean, I'm constantly asked, what are you doing to reach the young? I don't know. Kicking the pants. Getting their parents. Just preaching the gospel. Trying my best. We're not doing anything spectacular. What do you do to keep people? I don't know. God has to keep them. God, if you don't want to stay, it's your choice. Amen. I'm praying you to stay. But honestly, God does it. We need to stay faithful. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to start wearing Hawaiian shirts, you know, and shorts. You want to see my legs? No. get ready! Woo! You know, what's our pattern? Our pattern isn't some church over in America. Our pattern is not some church in Nigeria. Our pattern isn't some church over in London. Our pattern is the first century Christians. That's our pattern. Amen. Now, any atheist, and listen, one of the things I'll give you some guys who are just fantastic. Many atheists have gotten saved over the past 50 years because faithful Christians kept praying for them, witnessing to them, and kept giving them unanswerable questions without God. And we got to keep the momentum up because they can get saved just like I did. All right? Any questions about some of the things we talked about? I hope to get you thinking, you know, I'm working with this guy who says, you don't believe in God. Let me tell you, he's just mad at God. Most people who are atheists are just angry. All right? They're really just frustrated, upset. They want to kill you for bringing up God. But they really want to know, is he real? Yes, sir.
It's not a question, but they get very upset when you bring up God. It really upsets them and angers them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they have been turned from what they weren't born like.
That's right.
In fact, the Bible says that Jesus lights every man into the world. Mm-hmm. They know there's a God, and they have to turn from him. You're trying to turn them back, and it just bothers the fire out of them.
Yeah.
And they hate that, and it angers them. So they know that they know it's right, and they try to turn away from it. The other thing you mentioned was, they say, I'm not hurting anybody.
Mm.
Well, if that's your reasoning, then why do you say that their evil doesn't exist? You know, there's nothing matter what you do. You're not hurting anybody, but nothing you do is evil. It's almost contradictory.
It is. Oh, yeah. Their belief system is like a lot of cults. It's some of the most convoluted things that they believe. And when you peg them on, they go all over the map.
So. The guy was doing it, and he's like Brian, and he's an atheist, agnostic.
I don't believe in myself. All right.
And he almost says not that he doesn't know, he can't know.
Yeah.
He can't know that. So.
Without this, we wouldn't know God. Amen.
So, just pray and hope for the day that the Word of God is what saves.
Exactly. Amen. Did you have your hand up? It's terrible because atheists believe in abortion.
It's like what they say is nothing but
forget. Nope, it doesn't. Because they say, I have no belief. Then when you start catching them on their beliefs, they go, but I don't have that belief. But honestly, atheists believe in abortion, euthanasia. They believe, you know, there's a guy over in the States, he started CNN. His name was Turner. What's his first name?
Yeah,
T. Ted Turner. You know what he said back in 1981? He said, we've got too many people. He was asked on Forbes magazine or something like that. He was asked and says, with all the problems in the world, what's your answer? You've been around the world. You've got this cable news network. You do all this stuff. What's your answer? He said, reduce the population of the world to 500 million. Reduce the world's population to 500 million. That's an atheist for you. The point is, I don't hurt anybody, but we're going to now line up everybody and shoot you. Martin. Amen. Wow. We laugh, but he believes it. It's just like Lydia in the Bible. You have to wait for God to open the heart. You can't. You are trying to open their eyes. You're giving them things to think about. And use everything you can, because you've got to find out where they're at. If you're dealing with a Jew, you're going to have to talk to them differently than you're dealing with a guy from Cork. All right? Each person is a little bit different. You know what God gave to Peter? He says, I'm giving you some keys, Peter. There are people you'll be able to witness to. I'm going to give you, Bill, some keys. There are people you'll be able to witness to that Dan won't be able to talk to. And God will give you experiences and wisdom at the moment. And you'll be surprised. You'll walk away and just keep talking. Christians have shut up, unfortunately. We have gone quiet and we need to talk. Now, the world wants us to be quiet, but keep talking, because somebody's going to go, I like that. Yes, sir,
One other thing. He said, if you really believe that, why don't you walk there and tell
everybody? Amen. There's this atheist guy. What's his name? He's long-haired, hippie, TV personality, atheist. He gets on television and he mocks God and he says, you know, if I were a Christian, I'd be at every door every day of my life warning them of hell. If you claim to believe in hell, you better go out there. He says, I have more respect for a Bible-thumping Christian who goes out and warns people because they believe it than I do all these other Christians who don't want to offend me. Who am I talking about? Do you know who I'm talking about? Is that Penn? That guy who's a magician? No, there's two guys that disprove magic and stuff like that. I don't know what his name is. It may be that guy. But honestly, he speaks conviction to me. He makes me concerned. I go, man, yeah, if I really believe it, I need to live it. All right, any other questions or thoughts? You're going to run into more atheists today than you'll deal with than diehard Catholics. You're going to deal, and so you might as well get burdened and say, Lord, they're lost. They're in a cult mentality, and they need to get free. All right, let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. All right. Let's see, Brother John. I know you're. Let's see, Andrew. Anybody notice they're back? I've noticed. We're glad to have you back. Amen. You know, would you close us in prayer, please?